Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. And we start today by jumping over to City Hall Plaza, where Hub Week is well underway. You know Hub Week, Boston's annual festival for the future. And joining me now from Hub Week is Radio Boston's own Jamie Bologna. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Festival for the future is quite a tagline. It sounds really grand and idealistic, and I'm eager to hear what's actually happening there. What are you seeing?
Well, it is grand and idealistic. We're actually in the thick of Hub Week right now. It's in its fourth day, and I'm at the WBUR booth. It's outside the center stage. It's in this massive tent protecting us from the rain.
Important. You don't want to get all wet.
I know. I don't want to get electrocuted with all this equipment. There are people coming and going. There are speeches happening. As we speak, I was walking around Hub Week a little earlier, and there's kind of something for everyone here. There's a lot of public art. There are these two massive round domes for an immersive multimedia experience. There's a presentation hall. They're calling it the Hall of the Future, with VR headsets and 3D printers and robotic arms.
Did you get a VR headset?
Furnished living room. I didn't get my own. They're not handing them out. They're letting you use them. There's also these wax figures of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, which are a little creepy. But in terms of what actually happens here, it's a chance to hear these big, deep, smart conversations and talks with people who are facing and thinking about the ideas that we'll be facing in the future.
And, like, what kinds of things are they talking about? What were they talking about today?
So they're covering a lot of ground in any given day. But just for today, there was a session on legalized marijuana and parenting. There were a couple of film screenings. There's a session on laughter yoga, because laughter is apparently the best medicine. There's conversations on filmmaking and data and analytics and the importance of diversity in the workforce. But I would say the heart of today's events are these big fora on the main stage, and they're focusing on the future of work, data, and robotics.
In some ways, that's sort of too bad. I'd like to talk about laughter yoga more. But since we're doing work, data, and robotics, I'll just ask the big robot question, which is, how long before they steal all our jobs?
Well, I have to say, we're not that original to come up with that question. It's been said a lot on the main stage today. And a lot of folks sort of said, you know what, look, they are coming for our jobs, but maybe in a different way than we might think. So earlier I was speaking to some of the folks at the Cambridge-based company Soft Robotics. They make these like robot arms with cushy finger things that pick up delicate items like fish or eggs or fruit. And they told me that in their view, they're not taking people's jobs. Instead, they're helping companies complete sort of repetitive, sometimes difficult and dangerous tasks, sort of filling jobs that companies are struggling to fill anyway with our low unemployment rate. That's their view anyway.
And if it's true, it's not bad to take jobs that people don't want to be doing and replace those jobs with robots.
And in a more positive, sort of collaborative way, I spoke earlier with Ty Brady. He's the chief technologist at Amazon Robotics. He's a deeply Boston guy. He was a draper. He founded Mass Robotics. He knows robots. And he told me that we're just in the infancy of the field, the sort of first inning, first batter up, if you will. And I asked him about the jobs question, and here's what he said.
I call it a symphony of humans and machines working together. Humans are really good at problem solving and generalization and abstraction. We're amazing at that. Millions of years we've been working on that. We never, ever want to give that up. And machines are good at moving with precision and moving objects and large databases and remembering where everything is. When you think of an effective system design, you bring those together, and that's really an edge, right, where you do not make it a versus situation, but you make it a collaborative situation.
So, in other words, from his perspective, Amazon is always going to be a company that will have a need for people, and he noted that as they increase their numbers of robots, they also increase the number of human workers at any given location.
Was there anyone saying actually, this is just a terrible crisis?
No one has said that yet,
all
but
right.
You can be that guy. But maybe a little later in the show, we're actually going to talk to someone who's working on something related to robots, and that's artificial intelligence. But first, Evan, if I could, I would like to introduce someone who's here with me. It's one of the co-founders of Hub Week. She's also the managing director of the Boston Globe. Linda Pizzuti-Henry, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us here. In terms of what Evan and I were just talking about and what Hub Week is and what it means and what you're trying to do, what are you trying to accomplish this year? Our fourth year.
So this year's theme is We the Future, and it's this idea that we collectively can help build the future, and we all have a voice in what that future looks like. And so, like in previous years, it is an immersive experience with, like you said, a little, there's something for everybody, but the main point is that it is welcoming and inclusive, but we do really deep dives into areas that are defining the future, such as robotics, such as life sciences, such as hard tech, and what it all means.
And politics. I heard you earlier interviewing Ayanna Pressley from the main stage. And so I guess I'm just curious from that conversation where you see the future of politics going.
That's a simple question.
Yeah. If you could do it in like 10 seconds, that'd be great.
The future of politics is something that I think everybody at every news organization is studying closely, and it's happening, and we'll see. I think everybody's waiting to see what happens this November in that front. But, you know, a lot of the conversations, you know, the idea behind Hub Week is that the future is being built here in Boston at the intersection of art, science, and technology. Yesterday, I hosted a conversation with Anne McKee, who is a neuropathologist who has done the breakthrough research on CTE. And what's so interesting about her is that her training when she was young was as a visual artist. And that training as a visual artist has really enabled her to be incredibly successful, and particularly one of the best neuropathologists is her ability to recognize patterns. And so, and you know, when I was in my conversation with Ayanna, she was a performer, she was a singer. And that singing, how that's prepared her. And so just really incredible intersections, which you'll see in the robotics conversations as well, of the importance of the art, of the design, of the interface. You're talking about how people interact with AI and the sort of how it's all coming together. It's and so much of it is happening right here in Boston.
And so I do want to ask you, since some of this is the future of work, and you're the managing director of the Globe.
Sure.
You know, I don't need to tell you that the Globe has had layoffs and buyouts throughout the years. The Herald has 140 fewer people since its sale. And so I'm just wondering if you're optimistic about the future of work for journalists and journalism.
I think that there is an incredibly important role that journalism plays in every community. And that is hard to replace. You cannot automate that at this point.
Yeah.
There are
at this point,
but there's commodity news that you can automate. You can automate reports on financial earnings, and they've shown that they can do that. But there is other stuff that you cannot. You know, there's a conversation about AI and that Colin Engel was leading today in the Ideas Dome here at Hub Week, and he was saying, look, you can have AI look at something and recognize that is a chair. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. But that's all it can do. You know, you can't say now, you know,
analyze that chair.
How does my mother feel about this?
Right. Yeah.
or you know, sort of other things. There's amazing things that AI can do, but there are also incredible limits. And there are certain work jobs, and journalism is one of them. Where again, the commodity stuff can be automated, but the deep investigative reporting cannot.
And so is that something that you see continuing to grow and thrive here in Boston as someone leading a media institution?
Do I see journalism continuing? I think that the need for journalism will always be present in every community. And Boston is a community that is particularly engaged. And so we've been very lucky to have the support of so many people in our community who subscribe because they believe in the importance of journalism.
And so we mentioned this is the fourth year
of
Hub Week. What have you learned in these 4 years, and what are you hoping to accomplish in, you know, the 5 year big year next year?
So this has been just such an incredible experience for me and everybody on the team, because it's given me a chance to go and meet so many different artists and individuals and businesses and communities throughout Boston. And there's this similar refrain of, you know, Massachusetts is the home for robotics. Mm-hmm. We need to tell that story. Massachusetts is a home for life sciences. We need to tell that story. Massachusetts is a home for higher education. Massachusetts is a home for for all of these things. And collectively, we as a region need to tell our story, and that's much better told as a chorus. And Hub Week is a it is a not-for-profit collaboration. It is something that, you know, it started with Harvard, MIT, Mass General Hospital, and the Boston Globe. All four of these institutions really generously put their resources and time and energy into building this. And then we said, join us. And we have over 200 companies and organizations that are part of this. And that's something that's really important, that collectively we can tell the story, and in an inclusive way, of what is happening here in the city and how what the future is going to look like.
Well, it's exciting, and we'll continue following it. That's Linda Pizzuti-Henry. She's co-founder of Hub Week and managing director of the Boston Globe. Thank you so much for talking
to me. Thank you for being here. I hope you're able to take in some more events here.
Thank you, I will.
And I expect to see you at the Silent Disco tonight.
Oh, tonight with that wireless headphones.
Yes.
I'll see if I can make it. Evan, back to you in the studio.
Well, that's Radio Boston producer reporter Jamie Bologna. Jamie, stay dry. We'll check in with you a little later in the hour. Tomorrow on the show, Radio Boston's Chris Siderek will join us live from Hub Week, where he'll speak with some top folks at Google and iRobot. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. Let's check back in with Radio Boston's Jamie Bologna down at Hub Week, City Hall Plaza. Hey, Jamie, who do you have at the booth now?
Hey, Evan. I'm joined now by Jillian Armstrong. She works on AI and cognitive technologies at Liberty Mutual. Hello, Jillian.
Hi there.
So can we start with sort of what that actually means and what you do?
Sure. So mostly what I work on is chatbots, so technology that can just have a conversation with you, and we're putting those on our websites and in our call centers at Liberty Mutual.
So, okay, when I hear chatbots and call centers, I think people that used to do that are now not doing that. So how are you thinking about the jobs that may be lost in this transition?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're just trying to take away the simple questions, the questions that as a call center rep, you don't want to answer the same question over and over and over again, and divert those over to the chatbots and free up the call center reps to do things that humans are good at, sort of the empathy and creativity, and they've got time to spend more time with their customers. So we're not looking to replace people, we're looking to augment them.
I saw a piece that you wrote about teaching chatbots empathy. So if you don't want the chatbots to take the job of the people, then why are you trying to teach them empathy?
So I do think that we are quite a long way out from, from chatbots really being able to empathize with you. I think what we do want the chatbots to do is to empathize with you insofar as they can realize you're frustrated and that they would be better to pass it off to a human.
I see. But still, what do you say to the regular people who are listening out there and are legitimately worried of like, no, like I work in a call center somewhere and I don't want this. Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah. So I guess as a person that calls a call center, you don't want to wait for 45 minutes to get a really simple answer.
I don't love the idea of yelling at a chat. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that on the other end, you know?
And I think for the people who work in call centers, the technology is still very emerging. It's definitely not going to be taking anyone's job today.
Uh-huh.
Maybe in 5 or 10 years, we will see it. So maybe if you do work in a call center, you need to start thinking about, okay, so what are the things that... We're still going to need people. People need people.
Mm-hmm.
We're an insurance company. We're there to support people. We don't want to just put you onto a computer and never have you interact with any people. That would be a terrible experience. That's not what we want.
Right. So, you're someone who's looked at and studied AI for a while now. Where do you see the sort of next frontier of AI?
So I think definitely... watching how it's integrating into our lives through things like smart speakers, virtual assistants, definitely very much people are really accepting it into their day-to-day lives. And I think that is the next. Voice technologies are going to be a massive thing. We're going to just expect them to be able to handle little tasks. People are using them to set timers and do their shopping lists, but it's just going to get sort of more and more pervasive. We're just going to be used to them being there.
Okay, but so along those lines then, Elon Musk, among many others, have warned of the dangers of AI and that maybe they need more regulation. I mean, not to be a Nelly negative here on this field, but is that a concern? Is that something you're thinking about?
I think it's obviously something you need to think about, of course. And there are privacy issues, and of course we don't want AI to just rule our lives and make decisions for us. But I do think there is a really powerful thing in sort of helping us have better lives and be more human. So if you think about voice assistants, they've really helped us sort of take our eyes off screens and start looking at other humans and start actually having conversations with other humans as well in the room. So I do think there is a bright future, and I think we're a very long way out any sort of sentient AI. So we don't need to worry about it today.
All right. So then we'll stay hopeful for the future. Jillian Armstrong is a technologist at Liberty Mutual. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Evan, back to you at WBUR.
Radio Boston producer, reporter, Jamie Bologna, live at Hub Week in City Hall Plaza. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Thank you, Evan.